you out this morning as we look at a few announcements. As you open your bulletin this morning, you will find several inserts I'd like to bring to your attention real quickly. Notice the first one that you might come across is in color. It's for our Vacation Bible School, August 5th through the 9th. We're really excited about our VBS this year. We're excited about some of the great things that we've got planned for this year. We do have a VBS meeting tonight after church. So if you're planning on helping with Vacation Bible School this year, please make sure that you are here tonight after church for our second meeting of three. Also, there's another insert. Some of you took advantage of it last week. I'm putting it in there once again this week for your advantage once again. I'm starting a new series, sermon series, on things that I have maybe never preached about or that you have never heard me preach about before. And it's entitled, my sermon series is titled, Pastor, I've Never Heard You Preach About Blank Before. And you fill in the blank. And there's another little spot underneath there to put suggestions. I got some last week. I'm starting to work on a couple of those messages now. If you would, please fill that out and make sure that you drop it in the wooden box there in the back of the auditorium on your way out. And I will try and get as many of those as I can out during the next few weeks. Also in your bulletin, you will notice the next Sunday morning, and I believe maybe even evening, we have missionary Mark Tulavsky and his family will be with us. They are church planters. They are currently based in Des Moines, Iowa, raising support and planning on going to help plant churches around America. They'll be here next Sunday with us. And then July 17th, that's a Wednesday night evening prayer group and Bible study. We'd like to invite you to join us at 7 o'clock July 17th. July 27th is a Saturday night. We're having a decorating church party. We're looking forward to having all sorts of coloring pages that need to be colored for our VBS decorations, all sorts of different coloring pages that we need help cutting out and gluing and coloring. And we've done this the past 4 or 5 years. We've really enjoyed our time together. So plan July 27th at 6 o'clock in the evening. And we'd like to have you here for that to help us decorate all these posters and stuff that we need to do. July 28th then is our next Vacation Bible School meeting after tonight. This will be our third and final VBS meeting the week before VBS. August 4th then is a Sunday. And that evening we have our evening communion, our business meeting, as well as an FFF, a Finger Food Fellowship. And after that we need as much help as we can possibly get to put the church in order for the week of Vacation Bible School. Moving tables, putting up chairs, decorating rooms, and so forth. That'll be August 4th. Our week of VBS, as I said, is 5th through the 9th. And on the 9th, we have our VBS closing program at 8 o'clock on Friday night. August 10th is our Worlds of Fun Youth Rally. This will be our fifth year doing this, hosting as a church. I need some help if anyone would be willing to help me do that. We meet here at the church at 9:30 that morning, and about 9 o'clock that morning, and transfer over to Worlds of Fun about 10:30. Cost this year for Worlds of Fun is $31. It's gone up this year, but the parks have joined together. So we're looking forward to having about 100 teenagers here that morning. And if you'd like to help with that, please let me know. On the back table here in the auditorium are the new ministry sheets. If you volunteer regularly in the nursery, scripture reading, specialty music, and so forth, the new schedules are out. Make sure you pick those up. I have a special announcement that Jenny's going to come and bring to us this morning. Maybe she'll kind of give a little details behind it, kind of let you know as to why she's doing what she's doing. But Jenny, why don't you come up and share with us real quick what your plans are.
I guess first I'll give a little bit of background on this before I tell you what it is that I'm planning on doing. But it's been pretty interesting just my summer and how things didn't necessarily work out the way that I wanted them to, because I had originally planned possibly moving up to Iowa just so that way I could start getting a job and getting things squared away for college early. But even though yet my summer didn't work out the way I wanted it to, it still worked out the way it needed to. I was able to go up to college, up to Faith, and visit the campus for a couple of days and found out that basically, like, with all of the scholarships and the scholarship interview that I was able to take, I might only end up paying, like, just maybe a little over $2,000 or something for my first full year of college, which is amazing because the original school bill was going to be, like, $21,000 or something like that, and they had originally told me I'd probably end up paying $750 a month. So that was just like, it's one of those things where you know that's a God thing, and there is no other way that I would have been able to pay for college this year. And in that sense, I want to be able to give back to what God has given me, because he's given me so much, And I have this opportunity to go on a missions trip to Wisconsin to help out with shepherds, which they are helping out with some disabled people and people who may not be able to take care of themselves. So we're going to be partnered up with certain people, able to just help them out for about 4 days. The time I would be leaving is from July 20th through the 24th, and I'm going to be needing to raise some support for that. My goal is to raise about $350. So if the Lord would lead you to give towards that, that would just be a tremendous help to me. Even if he leads you just to please pray for the group as we head up there, just that way we can minister unto others as they would minister unto us as well. So thank you so much.
I put her on the spot. She didn't know she was doing that until about 2 minutes before church started. So she did a good job. Thank you, Jenny. I'll have you come later and preach for me. I want to start this morning off by having some scripture reading. It's on the screen behind me. We're going to do a responsive reading. Where it says leader, I will read that line. Where it says together, we as a congregation will read it together. Will you join me by standing with me, please, out of respect for the reading of God's word as we read on the screen behind us, Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are as sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And together, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Continue standing with me as we sing our new chorus, He is our Maker. He knows my name. Our new course for the month of July. It's up on the screen behind me. I have a Maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. And you may be seated over in your hymnal number 97, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's sing together this morning. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him, O majesty, ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him, O majesty, ascribe and crown him Lord of all. O that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus Christ to die upon the cross of Calvary. Father, it's true this morning we hail you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we praise you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, we praise you this morning for the opportunity we have to put the busyness of life aside and to be able to focus upon you and remember what it is that you've done for us and with us and are going to do with us in the future. Father, during the next few moments as we take part in this communion table, this Last Supper that your Son Jesus Christ instituted for the church as an ordinance, may it be a time of remembrance to us of what the elements remind us of and are symbolic of. And Father, as we take part, may we remember the cross and the sacrifice that was given on our behalf. And Father, as we remember the sacrifice, remember the torment and the torture that went forth on our behalf, may we remember the blood that was shed so that we might have the redemption of our souls. Father, may we remember that the price that was paid for our lives is a priceless value. There's no price that could be attached to our lives, but your Son, Jesus Christ, paid for our lives with his blood. Father, thank you also for his resurrection, which reminds us that one day we also will have victory over the grave, just as his Son, as your Son, Jesus Christ, did. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the deacons come forward for the communion service at this time. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, instructing them as to how to take part in the communion table. You see, they were doing things wrong. They were doing things not the correct way. So Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them the correct way that they ought to be taking part in the Lord's Supper. And he reminds them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, these words: "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." The elements on the table before us, the bread and the juice, remind us of the body and blood that was shed and broken on our behalf by our Savior Jesus Christ. In the upper room, he's telling his disciples what's about to take place. And his disciples just can't understand what's about to take place, because ultimately what's about to take place is the death of their Savior, their Master, their Lord, but 3 days later, his ultimate resurrection. And that's truly what we are reminded of today. It's a memorial service reminding us of what happened, but also a celebration memorial service, if we could call that, reminding us that 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead. Mr. Frazier, will you ask the blessing on the bread, please? Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same manner also he took the cup. Mr. Grimm, will you ask the blessing on the juice, please? Thank you. Christ said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." I'll say it again. I say it every month. I think his time's coming soon. His return's imminent. Look at the world around you. The signs are quite evident. At this time, we want to take our morning offering and just have the two gentlemen here beside me take the offering of this morning. Mr. Humphrey, will you ask the blessing on the offering this morning, please? Number 74 in your hymnal, Majesty. It's also up on the screen there, 74. Majesty. Worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. And I'll invite you to join me by standing as we sing our chorus, our last chorus before the message this morning, Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's sing it again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let the kids be dismissed for Children's Church this time. Invite you to take the opportunity to turn around, shake hands with one another, and welcome each other this morning. I want to say a personal thank you to those who were involved with our picnic on Wednesday night. We had a really fun time. Some of you got poured on and hailed on. We had a little bit of rain, but that was it. And we had a great fireworks display after our picnic, and we had fried chicken and hot dogs and meatballs and potato salad and all sorts of different good stuff at our picnic. So thank you to those of you that helped make that possible. Thanks especially to Gloria. She puts down every year the $50 to reserve the shelter that we use. And we really appreciate her doing that and going out of her way to do that. So I really appreciate all that she did. She had the tablecloths and the plates and the napkins, everything all set up. And all we had to do was come and bring food and eat. And it was a good time. I was stuffed, to say the least. But we had some fun at the fireworks display. We broke out the glow sticks, and the kids had a lot of fun with those. And Gloria had brought some beach balls and some frisbees, and that was a big hit with the kids. And we had a real good time. This past Thursday through Saturday, my wife, daughters, and I drove up to see my folks. We haven't seen them since the funeral of my sister back in February, so we had a good time back home for a couple days as well. This morning's message is entitled, All Means All. All means all. I am a big fan of air quotes. Air quotes. All means all. It means everything. Everything's included. My wife and I often shop at Aldi's grocery store. And if you are a frequent shopper there, you know the way of getting a grocery cart is that you go up and you put a quarter into the first cart, which then unlocks that cart away from the rest of the carts. And you are able to use that shopping cart throughout the store. And then as an incentive for you to get your quarter back, they want you to put the cart back. That's so much nicer than having your carts all over the parking lot and hitting your car and everything else. But I'm a very observant person. Some of you know that. And one day I happened to be very observant, and we were at Aldi's, and I happened to look down the row of carts, and I realized that the very first cart was chained to the wall. And I realized that if I took a quarter and I put a quarter in that very first cart, I could have all these carts. All these. See, some of you got it. You can groan, that's fine. You could have all these carts. You could have all of them, not just one or two of them. But when I said all these, it was because I was implying that would have been able to obtain all of them, not just one, not just two, but I could have had all of them. Not one cart would have been left out had I put a quarter in that very first cart. I would have had all of them. I would be getting all of them. For some odd reason, when it comes to God's word, and we find the word all listed there. By the way, the word all is in your Bible over 4,000 times. 4,600 verses it's used in. We sometimes, for some reason, pick and choose which alls we want to obey and which alls we want to leave out. Particularly when it comes to verses about the way we are called to live. Verses and things that we are called to do. For some reason, some people believe that when the Bible uses the word all, it means that certain people were excluded from that initial plan. Some people are supposed to follow it, but not all of us are supposed to. Why they think that, I'm not so sure. I don't really understand. We say the pledge to the United States flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh, yes, give it to me. I want that justice. I want that liberty. But when it comes to telling other people about God or sharing the gospel with other people or being nice to other people, I'm not so sure that's for me. I'm not sure that I'm called to be an evangelist and to witness. I'm not so sure that I'm called to be kind one to another. You know, maybe that's good for Joe or for Sally, but, you know, I'm not right there. I'm kind of out over here. I'm not over in this group over here that I'm sure God's actually talking about. But when we hear it for some reason coming from God's word, oftentimes we look at it and we say, oh, that must be meant for someone else. Oh, that passage must be indicating that that person should be doing for something special, but certainly that's not implying that I should be doing that or I should be involved in that. This morning, I would like us to look at three different important verses that each use the word all. And then I want us to understand how that word all is used and applied in our lives. So I'm going to start with the word of prayer, and then we're going to kind of jump in here and look at these three different alls out of these 4,600 different times the word all is used in our Bibles. Let's pray. Father, we would ask that you would give us understanding this morning, that you would help us and give us clarity of mind and clarity of thought as we try to understand your word this morning. Father, there are so many things in the world today vying for our attention, trying to drag us away, We're worried about lunchtime. We're worried about what we're going to do this afternoon, what we're going to do this evening. Father, there are so many different things in the world trying to drag us away from your word this morning that we would ask, that we would beg, that we would plead upon bended knee that you would remove those thoughts from our minds and allow us to concentrate solely upon your word this morning. Father, I do not know the hearts of the individuals here this morning. I know that there are some here this morning who have gone through difficult times recently. And Father, for those of us who haven't gone through difficult times, Father, we know for a fact that difficult times are right around the corner. So Father, help us to be able to be content to look upon your word this morning, to be intent upon looking and seeing what it means, and to be applicable in understanding how these words apply to our lives and then live them out, flesh them out in our lives. Father, give us understanding, give us clarity, give us application this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the biggest uses of the word all that I can think of in our Bible comes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Maybe it's one of the ones that you were first thinking of as well. We have all sinned. All have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to take a moment and think about the world that exists around you, outside your home, outside these walls. And I want you to think about the good and think about the bad. I want you to think about the news that maybe you watched just last night, or maybe even this morning, or the newspaper that you read already today, and you've taken in the front page of the news events of the past 24 hours, and you've tried to process that through your mind. Sometimes when we read about things that have happened on the other side of the world, we think, well, that's nice. And then we read about things that have happened in our own backyard, and we get a little more nervous. But I want you to think about the world around us today. I think we could be agreeing upon that things are not getting much better in this world. Oh, sure, maybe the economy might be getting better and the housing market's getting a little better, but that's not going to stop the murders and the drug dealers and the burglars and the rapists, etc. I think we would agree that in order for there to be perfect peace on this earth, we're going to need Christ to come back and set up his millennial kingdom after that 7-year tribulation. The verse we see here in Romans 3:23 tells us that everyone has sinned. All have sinned. We are none of us perfect. Not just the grocery store clerk that messed up your order yesterday, or the Arby's fast food window guy yesterday that forgot to give me my fries. We're all not perfect. We all have problems. We have all sinned. Not just the murderer and the rapist and the drug dealer or the burglar, but it says all have. And I want you to kind of get a little saying down with me this morning. It's a really simple three little words. All means all. Say it with me. All means all. When I was a child, my mother had me going through the grocery store. We were happening to go down the detergent aisle, and there on the shelf was the all, the detergent all. And I said, look, Mom, A-L-L spells all. You remember the commercials from a long time ago? And this lady was walking past, and she says to my mother, my, you have a bright son. She says, no, he just watches too many commercials. All means all. So we understand here that if all means all, we have to ask the question then, Pastor, does that include me? Am I included in that group? And you know what my answer to that is? You betcha. You are. And let me tell you something else. That includes me as well. I am by no means perfect. I am by no means anywhere near perfection whatsoever. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. We have all sinned and we have all come short of the perfectness of God, the perfect statute of God, each and every one of us. This morning, if you are a sinner, which is all of us, that means that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And those two things go hand in hand, a lot like salt and pepper. If you are a sinner, you need Christ. If you need Christ, it's because you're a sinner. Folks, this morning God tells us from his word that unless we have repented of our sins and believed upon the name of Jesus Christ, that we are not saved. Saved, that is, from the penalty of those sins, which is damnation and hell for all eternity. Not only are we saved from hell if we trust in Christ, but we are also redeemed. We have been adopted. We are justified. We have been made glorified. We will be sanctified, and we will live for eternity. But first, we must repent of those sins that we have all been guilty of, and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Let's look at another all here. We have the fact that we've all sinned. But you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 tells us that everything we do all ought to be for God. Everything we eat, everything we drink, whatever you do, it tells us, do all to the glory of God. As born-again believers this morning, true Christians who have put their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, our lives are suddenly much different than when we were still lost in our sins. At least that's the way God designed it to be. That's what God planned it to be. But unfortunately, in our world today, not many Christians have taken too many steps past that point. Many Christians today are still stuck in the old habits of their sin, still doing exactly the things that God's Word tells us not to be doing, still seeking the world's pleasures to fulfill our own desires, when all we need truly in life is Christ. Many years ago, there was a philosopher named Maslow. Maslow came up with a particular diagram called the Maslow's hierarchy. And Maslow's hierarchy looked like a triangle, and it was cut into different levels. And each level was signifying a different need that human beings had. And one of those layers, one of those needs, was food. As human beings, do we need food? Yes, we do. As Christians, do we need food? Are you sure? The Bible says that to die is gain. Trick question. Yes, you need food to survive, but what happens if you die? You go to heaven. Which is better, life on earth or life in heaven? What about shelter? Do we need shelter? Shelter is one of those needs. Do we need shelter? As physical bodies, yes. But you know what? David writes over and over again that Jesus is our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our fortress, our place of defense. Money. Do we need money? Physical bodies say yes. Spiritual bodies say absolutely no, because God is the one that's promised to supply all of our needs. According to whose riches? His riches in glory. Relationships. Do we need relationships? Physically, yes. An infant child and born oftentimes in an early stage is placed in the NICU, and each day they have to have so many touches by another individual. Otherwise, that baby will actually die, because it needs interaction. It needs relationships. We need relationships physically, but you know what? Spiritually, there's only one that we need a relationship with, and that's Christ himself. All we need is Christ, and because of all that he has done for us, we need to do all for him, everything for him. Notice with me briefly that if our lives are to be lived for his glory, that means they're not lived for our own glory. They are not lived for our own desires. They are lived for his desires and for his glory. How many things in our lives ought to be done for him? All. And all means all. Nothing can exist outside of that realm. If all is to be done for the glory of God, then everything we do is to be done for the glory of God. So if everything is to be underneath that umbrella, what we're actually saying then is that I will glorify him in most things that I do, right? No, not in most. All. All does not mean most. All means all. So everything I do, the way I talk, the way I dress, the things I listen to, the words I read, the food I eat, the friends I keep, the walk I walk, the way I do my schoolwork, the way I get along with others, the way I do my work, the lifestyle I keep, etc. Are these all included? Yes, and so much more beyond that. All of it, because all means all. Not just some of our life, but all of our life, every second of our life ought to be lived for the glory of God. If I was daring, I'd ask you to raise your hand if that was true of your life. Is every second of your life glorifying to God? I wouldn't be able to raise my hand because the answer is no. But should it be? Yes, because all means all. Another all that we can look at here is over in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All works for good. This one trips us up occasionally. This one makes us think. This one makes us doubt God, I think, at times even. Because Romans 8, 28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I once had someone tell me they had a problem with this verse. Well, of course they probably had a problem with this verse. I would almost think that we all have problems with this verse. To think that God allows everything into our lives, both good and bad, into our lives on purpose, makes us kind of get a little upset. Wouldn't you get upset with God if He was bringing bad things into your life on purpose? I know I would. Yes, I got cancer. Yes, my car broke down. Yes, my house caught on fire. That's, you know, but we're understanding here in this verse that no matter what happens in life, whether good or bad, it's happened for our good based upon God's purposes for our lives. He's allowed it to happen. Why would a loving God allow bad things to come into our lives? That doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? Well, what did we just say? All means all. So every situation that you've ever gone through, every situation that you're ever going through now, and every situation that you'll ever go through in the future has a purpose behind it. It has a plan behind it because of what God has purposed for you in your life. I'm going to do my very best to help you understand this verse makes complete sense. Even though we oftentimes don't want it to, it does. And the three little words that we've been studying this morning, all, helps us do that. Because just as a remembering point or a reminder point, this morning we've been saying all means all. So with that in mind, there is nothing that enters our lives that is not first allowed to be put there by a holy and righteous God. God has sifted out every situation that's going to enter your life. And He has not allowed some to enter, and He has allowed others to enter. And those things that He's allowing to enter into your life are being put there on purpose. A few months ago, my sister Becca, at the age of 28, died, leaving behind three children and a husband. Why? That doesn't make any sense to me. But this verse tells me, and this verse says, that it happened for a purpose, and that purpose is good. I know Maisie Neal has cancer. Some of you have also struggled with cancer. And you say, God, why? Why me? Why do I have to go through the treatments? Why do I have this life-threatening illness? And honestly, if you would ask me, my answer to you is, I don't know. But I do know of someone that does, and that's God. And He's put it there for a purpose. And whatever purpose that tends to be in the future, we'll find out one day. But for whatever reason, this verse tells us that it's for good. There's a good reason behind it. Whatever disease, whatever pain, whatever financial problems, whatever hardships, whatever loss of loved one, no matter how tragic, whatever it is that you have or you are experiencing, whatever it is that you will experience, God has allowed it to enter onto the pathway of your life for a very specific purpose. You know, I know some of you are going through hard times right now, and I want you to know that although I may not understand the problems, and in fact I may not even know or be aware of the problems, God does know what's going on. God does have a plan, and God does have a purpose with me. And His Son, Jesus Christ, also knows what you're going through. And the greatest part about that is that Jesus Christ is a human being. So He's experienced pain. He's experienced hunger. He's experienced trouble. He's experienced mocking and taunting and discouragement and disappointment. He understands what it feels like for people to betray an individual. He understands what it means and what it feels like to be turned on and to be thrown away. Jesus Christ came and took on an earthly body not only to minister to us upon the cross of Calvary and to rise again, but also so that He would be able to understand what we go through on a daily basis. The Bible tells us we have a high priest who has also been tempted in every form and fashion like we have been. He knows what's going on. Christ can say, I understand the pain that you must be feeling. And why can I say that to you if you've lost a loved one? Because I've lost a loved one too. I understand what it's like to go through that. My wife and I just a few short months ago had a miscarriage. If you know someone going through a miscarriage, I can say to that person, I know what it feels like to go through what you're going through. Some of you have been in positions that I can't understand. I don't know what it's like to lose a spouse. I don't know what it's like to go through some of the hardships that you have. But I can somewhat relate, but not fully. And the only way that I can somewhat relate is because I'm a human being too. My pet dog You know, if I had a pet dog, would have no idea what I was going through when I lost my sister. The dog wouldn't understand that. But as human beings understanding one another, we can understand what's going on. And Christ was there. Christ was tempted. Christ was beaten. Christ was forsaken. And you know, that sounds a lot like our lives, doesn't it? Have you ever been forsaken? Have you ever been turned on? Have you ever gone through hard times? The reason that God allows us to go through all these different experiences, all these things, and all means all, is because of verse 29. You see, so often when we read our verses, we pick and choose what verses we want to read, but we leave out the context. We leave out the rest of the verses that apply to that verse. What's verse 29 say? It says this, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The reason God allows all things to happen in your life is because he wants you to take those things that he's brought into your life, and he's going to use those things and mold your life and fashion your life so that through those things you might become more like Christ. And which is what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, right? We are to be molded in and fashioned into the likeness of the Son of God. "Be holy even as I am holy," we are told. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a list of the fruit of the spirits. As a Christian, you should be radiating these different characteristics in your life. Your life should be full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I want you to think about the worst situation that you've ever gone through in your life. It could have been years ago. It could be something that just happened recently. It could be something you're experiencing right now. But now look at the different fruits in which you could have practiced during those situations to have been more like Christ. Could you have been more long-suffering? Could you have been more good and had more faith in Christ and in what he was doing? Could you have been meek rather than angered? Peace is knowing that God's in control. Faith is knowing that when you do pass from this earth, you will be in glory. Love towards your family who might be bitter towards God for allowing these things to happen in your life. There's so many different things that we could talk about with these different fruits of the Spirit and how they could have interacted with these different situations and caused us to be differently. Too often we look at the circumstance and we say, "Woe is me. What is going on? Why me, God? Why me?" But Christ looks at us and says, "Look what I have allowed you to experience for my glory. Look at what I'm doing with you. Did you see the way that you could have gotten really angry at that guy at the fast food window yesterday, but instead you showed love and mercy? You said, 'Thanks anyways, but that's okay. I'll go without my fries,' and you just drove on." There are everyday situations that God allows us to show him and give him glory. There are circumstances that arise in our lives that oftentimes we say, "I can't handle this." But I want to comfort you this morning with a verse that tells us that that is a lie. That's not true at all. Look back up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We are told here in this verse that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, God knows exactly what we can and what we can't handle. And he will never give you anything so hard that you will fail, that you will be destroyed by it. There will always be opportunities to stand and say, "Look, if this is what God has for me, I'm going to do the very best that I can to glorify him through it. I'm going to use the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to learn to live the way that I ought to be living and do the very best that I can." Think of Job for a moment this morning. Job lost everything. His livestock, his family, his home. He had absolutely nothing left, except a wife that told him that he should curse God and die, and three friends that really weren't the best friends in the world either. But after a number of passages and a whole life of misery for a period of season in his life, he never once gives up on God. He never once says, "God, this isn't fair." He never once says, "God, this should be on someone else, not me." He never once says, "God, why me? Why do I have to go through this?" He stays faithful the entire time. Listen to me. If Job can do it, certainly we can do it. I haven't lost my family and my house and my livestock and all my possessions. I still have earthly goods, although we saw just a few minutes ago we don't need those things, because we have what's most important. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. With Him, we can do all things. Without Him, we can do nothing, the Bible tells us. But with God, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing was allowed to touch Job without God's permission first. God knew what was going to break Job, and God was not going to allow Satan to get to that point. The same is true in your life. God will never allow things to enter in your life that are too hard for you to handle. There are situations that seem like they're too hard for you to handle, but God will not allow those things to enter into your life. This morning, if there's anything that I want you to take with you when you leave this morning, it's the fact that all means all. We are all sinners. We are called to do everything for the glory of God. And we are told this morning that everything we experience in life, whether good or bad, all has a purpose and works for our good. I don't know what all you need to work on this morning. If we had time, we'd go through and look at the next 4,597. We don't. But if all means all, that means that we have a lot of work to do. Because I know for a fact in my own life that oftentimes I try to get by saying all means most. Did I do my very best? I don't know, did I? Or did I just do enough to get by? Did I do my very best for God? Or did I just do enough so it looks good? All means all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time. Thank you for your word. Father, help us to remember as we leave this place today that all means all, that we are all sinners, that we all need to repent of our sins, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without our sins being forgiven first. Father, help us to remember that all of our actions, all of the things that we eat, drink, say, do, think, whatever, ought to be done for your glory. And Father, remind us constantly that the experiences that you bring into our lives on a daily basis are there for our good. They are purposely placed there, everything, all things, so that you might have the preeminence, that you might form and fashion us into your likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the time we've been in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me by standing together with me as we sing our last song this morning, number 72, We Will Glorify. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone.